I come to the garden. The reading is taken from Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 34. Today's theme in God's garden is orange, focusing on how glad we are that Jesus died and rose again for all of us. And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. And they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to them, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." The word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. As we move into this month of February, and before we hit the season of Lent, we continue our journey in our New Year's sermon series, Growing God's Garden. Today's fruit is the orange. And when I think about the orange, yes, I am compelled to share this joke to kick off our sermon today. So here we go. Knock, knock. Banana. Knock, knock. Banana. Knock, knock. Orange. Aren't you glad I didn't say banana? That knock-knock joke is so old that even my 5-year-old granddaughter doesn't laugh at it anymore. Aren't you glad you have a berry punny pastor? I'm plumb out of jokes, so there we go. All right. Sorry for the terrible joke, but I want to use that punchline today to make some very powerful points when it comes to talking about what Jesus has done for us. Our text is what we heard read from Mark chapter 10, verses 32 to 34. Jesus tells his disciples in that text for the third time that he must suffer, die, and rise again. The first time that Jesus made that announcement was back in Mark 8, 31, telling about God's plan of salvation. And if we remember the story, it was there that right after Jesus said that the first time that Peter rebuked Jesus, because he simply could not wrap his mind around the idea of a suffering Savior. Jesus shared it for a second time in Mark chapter 9, verse 31, and we're told there that the disciples didn't understand and were afraid to ask. They didn't want to hear it, so they pretended they didn't hear it. They pretended it didn't happen. It's like getting bad news and not wanting to hear it, so you pretend that you don't hear it in hopes that it will all just go away or that somehow it's all just a bad dream. They say the third time is a charm, right? That means that the first two efforts have already failed, but perhaps the third one will be successful. Well, Jesus' followers needed to hear, and they needed to accept God's plan to save the world. They didn't want to hear it because it's not how they would have planned to save the world. For that matter, it's not how you or I would have planned it either. God's plans are often opposite, are different, or counter to what you or I would put into place. That's why God's in charge and we are not. Well, let's look at that third announcement today in detail using that punchline from that terrible joke. So the first orange is, aren't you glad that Jesus was walking ahead of them? They were on the road to Jerusalem. Jesus was leading the way. The disciples were amazed. Bewildered is actually a better translation of that. Others who followed were afraid. You see, Jesus had already worn out his welcome in Jerusalem after many confrontations with the reigning religious leaders of that day. They had their own aspirations for prestige and power and authority, and they weren't about to let some itinerant preacher to steal their thunder. They were ready to put Jesus to death, to get rid of the one who told them the truth about God that they didn't want to hear. The fact that Jesus is going to his passion, his suffering, and his death, and doing so deliberately, is what sets him apart from all the others. Dr. Oswald Chambers, great pastor and theologian, said it this way: to choose to suffer means that there's something wrong. To choose God's will, even if it means suffering, is a very different thing. You see, no healthy saint ever chooses suffering. He chooses God's will, as Jesus did, whether it means suffering or not. Thanks be to God that Jesus was obedient to God. And the disciples followed him out of respect and awe for what Jesus was about to do, even though they were afraid for their own lives, yet they still followed. The second orange is, aren't you glad that Jesus shared God's plan? You know, as we read God's word, we realize that God's plan was set in place all the way from the beginning of time. And the more we read, the more that we see this plan unfolding throughout all of Scripture, throughout all of history, to culminate at this place, at this point. Of course, that is the cross. No one expected the cross. No one expected suffering. Many expected a Messiah to sweep down out of heaven with a vast army of heavenly hosts and conquer the world by force and by might. So why did Jesus have to repeat this to his followers 3 times? It took that much for it to begin to sink in. Notice I said begin to sink in. Because they truthfully did not comprehend everything until after Jesus died and rose again. We have a group studying Revelation on Wednesday nights. That's been fun. But we see in the book of Revelation the fruition of God's plan as Jesus comes to rule and reign in his rightful place to throw down the power of evil and the devil. But again, it doesn't happen the way that we might expect. In fact, Revelation 12:11 shares this: and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb. There it is. And by the word of their testimony, for they loved not even their lives unto death. So Jesus' greatest power lies in what you and I might figure is his weakest moment, suffering and dying on the cross. His body was broken, his blood was shed for us, and yet that's where he achieved his victory. Thirdly, aren't you glad that Jesus was delivered up? He was delivered up to the chief priests and the scribes. They condemned him, then they delivered him over to the Gentiles. As horrible as that sounds, it really is great news. In one of the few times that the Jewish leaders collaborated with the Roman Empire, we begin to understand something very unique about Jesus. He didn't just come for God's chosen people, the Jews. He also came for the Gentiles. That means the rest of the world. That means us. And that is summed up so beautifully in what Martin Luther called the gospel in a nutshell. You know this verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The very world Jew and Gentile, that tried to destroy Jesus is precisely the people that Jesus came to save and to die for. That includes every one of us, for we too have condemned him. By our own sinfulness, we deny him. We turn our backs on him. And it's our sin and the sin of the world that convicted Jesus. The power of the cross is that he willingly and lovingly died so that we might be set free from that bondage to sin and have the power to live godly lives. There's a poem by an unknown author that I think expresses this very well. It goes like this. God hath not promised skies ever blue, flower-strewn pathways always for you. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But he hath promised strength from above, unfailing sympathy, and undying love. Fourthly, aren't you glad that they mocked Jesus and spit on him and flogged him and killed him? No, I'm not glad that they did all of that. It's very hard to be glad and to understand all the suffering that Jesus went through for our sake. I am glad that Mel Gibson made that movie, The Passion of the Christ, back in 2004, which more than any other presentation I've ever seen in my lifetime represents the brutality and the depth of suffering that Jesus went through for our sake. It still is hard for me today to watch that movie, and it makes me cringe every time I see it. But to know what Christ did, to know the length and the depth and the height of what he went to for our sake, truly humbles me. It's the same reason that we call Good Friday good, right? It wasn't good for Jesus. He bore the full weight of the ugliness and the horror of our sin and our shame, the evil and the hatred in our hearts, the jealousy and the lust that inflames our misguided passions. Jesus did all of that to save us from eternal damnation and destruction, so that we might be made clean by his blood, that we might be restored as children of our heavenly Father, a Father who loves us and a Father who wants to spend eternity with us. It's through suffering that we discover grace. These words were found scratched on the wall at the Auschwitz prison camp. Said this, I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. I believe in love, even when I don't feel it. I believe in God, even when he is silent. Mom told a story about a time that she was standing in line, in a long checkout line, with her two boys. One was a toddler, the other was a big kid. The big kid picked up a pack of glow sticks, and the toddler was screaming for one. You get the scene, right? The toddler is screaming, I gotta have one. The mother was exasperated. She grabbed the bag of glow sticks, opened it up, and handed one to the toddler. Instantly, he stopped crying. He stood there with a glow stick smiling, just tickled. Then his big brother took it away from him again. He started crying again. And just as the mom was about to lay into the big brother, he bent the glow stick so that it started glowing. Then he handed it back to the toddler, to his little brother, who was now amazed with it. The big brother told him, I had to break it so that it would glow. Sometimes God has to break us so that we can glow. That toddler would have been content to play with that unbroken glow stick because he had no idea how beautiful it could be. Similarly, we are content a lot of times with the way things are. We don't know why God has to break us, but God knows how beautiful we can be when we glow. That leads us to the last orange. Aren't you glad? Aren't you extremely glad that Jesus pronounced that after 3 days he would rise again? There it is. There's the culmination of God's plan for humanity, plan to save us. Jesus was born to die, and he died so that we might live. That's Easter. That's the joy. That's the celebration. And yet at this point, the disciples couldn't quite see past the suffering and the pain and his upcoming death. Three times Jesus had proclaimed that he would rise again, but it would take the shock of his death, the empty tomb, and his appearing to them after the resurrection before it would all finally sink in. You see, Jesus had to be broken before he could glow, before he could shine as the light of the world. I'm glad that they got to experience Jesus' full glory and that they lived to tell the story and to pass it on down to succeeding generations so that we might believe as well. Aren't you glad that we get to share the story with others? Amen.